And I'm ashamed to be reading this. I've been saying this all my life. I should know it by heart, like the Lord's Prayer. But I'm going to read it this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, thou shalt not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He laid me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence mine of enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Good morning. Glad to see you all today. It's a poem, Psalm 23. It's a poem distinguished and cherished and loved for generations and millennia by persons of faith and people of hope. It's a poem that of age people at least semi-familiar with the Bible are familiar with. Rev them up with a poem's opening line and watch them recite six verses they did not know they knew anymore. King James Version, of course, with all its thys and thous and f's. It's a poem for all times, bookmarked by the red ribbon in your well-worn Bible, prayed through early in the morning, referenced in your mind in the too quiet still of night. It's a poem for end times, as evidenced by the number of funeral bulletins you've seen with it printed on the back page. There's a poetic power in Psalm 23, a hypnotizing rhythm about it, a spiritual hum that echoes between it and you. Hold its metaphors and images up to the light. Rotate it around and around in your hands. Notice its shape and cracks and beauty. The light behind the metaphors illumines not just the poem, but you as well. You become transparent too. Your own life has shape and cracks and beauty. I did not understand or care or appreciate the power of poetry when I was in high school. Certainly not when my English instructors assigned lengthy and hard to grasp readings of Shakespeare and Tennyson and Longfellow. They bored me to tears then. And I'm sure the reflection papers I wrote did the same things to my teachers. But now that I'm older and I read Oliver and Barry and Hughes and Collins, shorter readings, thankfully, poems mean more today. They climb down inside of me, pull up a chair and sit there, quietly speaking of truth. Poems help me see the world afresh again. To the degree with which I listen, poems help me see what I've been missing, or they can help me remember what I've forgotten. Sometimes they are silly and make me laugh, like this one from Silverstein. Who wants a pancake, sweet and piping hot? Good little Grace looks up and says, I'll take the one on top. Who else wants a pancake fresh off the griddle? Terrible Teresa smiles and says, I'll take the one in the middle. Some are more somber and frank, like this two-line one from Young. The cemetery bench, still warm. I marvel at how poets can build something using nothing but words. An engineer can draw out blueprints and then see it become a hospital or a school. A chef can jot down a recipe and then see it later become someone's meal. A poet's words, though, what do they become? An imagination, an emotion, a light bulb, a response, a truth. Psalm 23 is a poem, affluent in metaphor, rich in imagery, stirring the soul.
Psalm 23 is also a song. Sometimes I view my brain as filing cabinets when it comes to music and songs. I can pull up different files and it'll immediately transport me to a different place in my life. So you can play Reba McEntire or Garth Brooks or George Strait, and I am immediately transformed into Midland, Texas on a hot summer night, boots on my feet. All of downtown has been shut down and blocked off, and we are two-stepping in the middle of the streets. I danced growing up. And some cover band would be there in front of the Holiday Inn playing Garth Brooks and George Strait and Reba McEntire, and I can literally feel that. Or songs from Metallica or Beastie Boys or Nirvana can come on, and I am in my 1994 Jeep, windows down, I have old faded Gap blue jeans on, Doc Martens on my feet, and I am really cool at 16 years old, blaring Sandman from Metallica in my Jeep. Don't tell my parents. Or I can hear Britney Spears, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, and I can imagine myself walking down the hall in Gardner Third East at ACU and all the girls singing these tunes. Songs are powerful. They transport us back to different places in our life. They remind us. They become familiar. We memorize lyrics. I'm sure the same is for you. If I were to start listing off certain songs, you can imagine yourself back in different parts of your life. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible, it tells me so. I have these songs imprinted on my brain and in my heart through years of memorization. Through coming to church, people singing these songs over me. Psalm 23 is a song just like that. It is something, kind of like what Lincoln was saying, that I have had memorized since I was a little girl. It is the first scripture that I can remember sitting on me and memorizing and reciting that to people. And so this morning, we are going to dive deeper into this song, this Psalm 23. It's a song and a psalm and a poem of trust, of confidence, and of provision.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. The poem begins, and the great metaphor emerges, arising from the first stanza. The Lord, Yahweh, is a shepherd, and not just a shepherd, my shepherd. Not many of us, I assume, currently live in an agrarian society. Not many of us presently work on a farm with sheep to wrangle and feed and shear and shelter. I will guess, though, that several of you grew up around such animals, working the land and tending the flocks or herds or roosts, and you could speak better about it than I could about such matters. I don't think, however, that it takes much to imagine what a shepherd does or is supposed to do. Take care of the creatures before you. Psalm 23 tells us as much, that a good shepherd provides green pastures, food, still waters, drink, right paths, protection. This is the poet's metaphor, that the Lord as shepherd is the one who provides for us, protects us, leads us. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a confession, is it not? It's a confession appropriate any time of the year, but exceptionally so right now during the Lenten season, when we acknowledge and admit our own frailty and weaknesses. It's a prickly confession, too, because to claim the Lord as your shepherd then means that someone else is not your shepherd. Not another leader or a king or charismatic personality, not a superstar preacher or prominent teacher, not another person or divine power. It's true for the poets, for Israel, for the people who love God now. The Lord is your shepherd, the one who provides, protects, leads. You'll need to confess it again and again and come back to it again and again, since the next part of the poem is about to make its wild claim, "I shall not want." The poet has pulled a fast one on us because at third glance, maybe even seconds, we know it's false. Who can speak the verse aloud with any integrity? There are so many things we do want. We want to be liked. We want to be loved. We want to do well. We want better things. We want more things. We want more excitement. We want to be convinced that we have to have what we don't have. We want life to give us what we want for a change. We want, we want, we want. As exhausting and non-satisfying as our wants are, we continue our pursuit of them nonetheless. Against that, the poem says, "I shall not want." I shall not want because the shepherd gives me what I need, food and drink for today, a right path, a good path to follow for today. What feels false, I shall not want, is in fact deeply true. I shall not want. I lack nothing. I already have all that I need. This simple recognition, the provisions of the shepherd, releases the wants of today, lets them go for today, and it restores the soul. How many of you are stressed out? Stressed out by the pressures of your job or school? Stressed out by the drama of your own household? Stressed out by the racket of politics? Stressed by the feelings of helplessness? Stressed by bills or exams or the brokenness of your own heart? Can the shepherd restore the soul? Can the shepherd revive the soul and perhaps even enliven it? Where do we go for that? To fields of green, beside still waters, along right paths, there we find the shepherd. In sneaking away to be alone, sitting next to the chair lamp with your Bible open on your lap, lying down underneath a tree, standing barefoot on the sand before the gulf, inside a closet just large enough for you to bend to your knees, in solitude and prayer and stopping. There we open up our hands and receive again the shepherd of our souls, the provider, the restorer. It's an affirmation of trust for today, even when, even though.
And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This may be one of the most famous verse of this psalm. This is equated a lot with funerals. I don't know how many of y'all have been to funerals, but have seen Psalm 23, specifically verse 4, highlighted in different funeral bulletins when you go in. It is quoted in lots of movies, lots of songs. It is equated with death, with darkness, with great trial, with loss, with threat. I like the way Lincoln read it better. It's the way that I memorized it from the King James Version. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But really, when you back up and you look at this from a broader sense, this is meant to be a verse to accompany us in our everyday lives. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. One of the first things I was trained in grad school is that one of my jobs is not to fix. It is to sit with someone in darkness, in hurt, and in pain. I love the way that this song talks about this. It doesn't say that God walked into the darkness and grabbed my hand and walked me out. It says that God walked into the darkness and he was with me. The shepherd accompanied me as I walked through these dark places. That brings comfort. That shines a little bit of light in the darkness. We weren't promised easy. Some people have bought into that fib. Life is hard, and God knows that. And his promise to us is that he's going to journey alongside us. And not only that, the good shepherd is going to bring tools. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. I love this because when I think of a rod and a staff, I always picture a shepherd. These are his tools, his things that he uses. But the more that I dove into this verse and I read it, these are great things of comfort because he has brought them to comfort and protect me. So not only does he journey into the darkness, he comes prepared. God is going to provide exactly what I need on my unique journey, just like he is going to provide exactly what you need on your unique journey. God provides. He brings provision. He has everything we need, and he is prepared. God, you are prepared. You prepare.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The poem's metaphor shifts here in the fifth verse from the Lord is my shepherd to the Lord is my host. No longer are you a sheep, you're a human being again. And the host, God, has set a table for you. It's not the other way around as you think it might be or should be, where you set the table, do the shopping, do the cooking, the serving. God has it taken care of, already prepared. Don't worry about bringing a dish to share or who's going to scrub the pans later. Don't worry that your hair is not brushed and makeup's not applied. I know you didn't have time to change clothes. The trail through Death Valley has never been the cleanest one. Enemies may have denied you a seat there, but that won't happen here. God has a place reserved for you, just as you are. Chair pulled back. Sit. The host does for the guest what the good shepherd does for the sheep. Food, drink, protection. It may not seem like much at first, especially not with the presence of enemies just over your shoulder. But look at the host, the towel around his waist. His love for you is great. Look at the host's provisions for you, an abundance of grace for the weary traveler. Fill your head anointed with oil, a sign dripping with meaning and blessing. Your cup runneth over. It's all offered to you without limit. There is no catch. It's we who are limited in our ability to receive. Yes, the presence of evil will remain. Enemies will get too close. The hot breath of sin and death upon your neck threats and challenges will remain, but the presence of the host promises to remain as well. And with him, the table of fellowship, the meal of restoration, the Holy Supper. It will always be ready for you wherever you find yourselves, and to it you can always return. Rehearse this part of the poem often. Recite it in whatever version or language you like. What you might experience within yourself is a response best described as thanksgiving, as gratitude. Because surely, surely,
surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is a pretty little bow to put at the end of this psalm, this song 23. In fact, the cynical parts of me can kind of get snarky at this last verse in this song, because it sounds like goodness, mercy will follow me, and they all lived happily ever after. And that really clashes with our everyday life, at least the everyday reality that I live in personally and professionally. Sometimes it is really hard to see goodness and mercy in life. That is until I started studying this further and gotten some commentary and then got into water that I'm very uncomfortable with, which is translating this to Hebrew. But I like the way that this sounds when you translate it to Hebrew and how some of the words transform. And it sounds like this. Surely, goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. God's goodness and mercy pursue. They chase after me, whether or not I'm pursuing God or chasing after Him. These things, these promises, are going to follow me. That brings great comfort. Like I was saying, I sit in darkness in my office. I'm a therapist. People come in, they are hurting. And I can't necessarily take all of that pain away. But I can sit in those places with them. And that makes a difference. Because darkness feels lonely and cold, and it's isolating. And by offering my presence and tools and sitting with people in these places, it's not quite so lonely. God does the same for us. I also liken this to that if Cora falls and scrapes her knee and starts crying, I'm not going to get down on the ground and say, no, it doesn't hurt. Give it a second. It's going to go away. Not that big of a deal. No, I'm going to get on the ground with her, and I'm going to scoop her up into my arms, and I'm going to rock her and say, I am so sorry, baby. Show me where it hurts. Let me kiss that. Let me sit in this with you while you cry. I can't take away the pain. I can't take away the hurt, but I can be present. I can offer goodness, and I can offer love. And God does the same thing for all of us, His children. Goodness and mercy, it pursues us. It follows us. It brings comfort. This song, Psalm 23, is ultimately saying our union with God, our relationship with God, this is what brings healing. Darkness, it loses its power. And we are not alone. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Will you please stand as we sing?
And the Lord who is on our side, Had it not been and the Lord was on our side, the anger of the enemy would have swallowed us alive. Had it not been and the Lord was on our side. Blessed be the Lord who not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for his unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord.